producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. You're listening to the second hour of the weekend edition of the KE Report. We have Chris Martinson with us right now. Chris is a regular guest on our show, was throughout 2015 and pretty much for 2014 also. Chris, we want to talk a little bit about your book, Prosper. We got an interesting question about the book from one of our listeners, a gentleman by the name of Brian Alexander. Brian says he's reading the book and he has a question. He said, I'd like to hear more on how an economy / population prosper if we have equilibrium, no growth, no fractional banking, no capitalism. Do we prosper on supply and demand fundamentals? Do we prosper on technical breakthroughs such as companies like Theralase and Natcor for better health and cleaner energy source? Living like the Amish, which, by the way, I admire these folks. I kind of do too also. Chris, what are your comments on that?
Wow, big question. A lot wrapped in there. And
yeah.
I think that Brian had his finger on the pulse of at least one part of the predicament that we're in, and that is it's our money system itself. That's a lot of the diagnosis that I put on where we find ourselves, is that we have a money system, for better or worse, and I think increasingly for worse, has to constantly expand or it collapses. Now, there are a lot of different money systems out there. We could debate them all, but let's talk about the one we have. It's a debt-based fractional reserve system. It means money is loaned into existence. Most people spend their whole lives happily not knowing how the system works. I was one of them. But once I learned how the system works, Al and Corey, I got really concerned, because it's really obvious once you stare at it for just a little while and study it for a bit that we have a money system that has to constantly grow. And as long as you can constantly grow, it's a perfectly good, perfectly workable system. Now, when we installed this system in 1913, the world was seemingly limitless. It made a lot of sense. I think it was a good money system. But here we are in 2016, and we're seeing that the world is no longer infinite. We've discovered the edges of this ball of dirt that we're on, but we can't have a money system that demands constant exponential growth. And that's the state we're in right now, and everybody can feel it. The Federal Reserve, the central banks, they're panicking. Just they want growth. They're going to do anything for growth. Why? Because if they don't get that growth, the banking system will collapse and fail. And that's a pretty bad moment if your job as a central bank is to protect that system of banking. So this is an interesting time to be alive, and the book Prosper really goes out of the way to recommend that as long as we're just focused on financial wealth, we're really going to be missing on what really delivers prosperity and quality of life to our lives, that life is about more than money. But unfortunately, we're wrapped into a system of money that I think has a freshness date stamped on it. It's going to go bad on us at some point.
Now, Chris, what's your comment on the aspect that this money system seems to work or has worked for quite a while when the money that's created gets into the economy, but recently the money that's being created is being held at higher levels, such as the banks, major corporations, and it's not trickling down to the general economy or just the average person on the street?
Well, it's not. So let's look at the effect of what happens when you print too much money. You get inflation. That means too much money or credit chasing too few goods. People have been commenting, hey, where's our inflation, noting that the price of pork is about the same as it was 4 years ago. So that doesn't seem to show inflation. But note, Corey, where you mentioned that money is parked. It's parked heavily, concentratingly, increasingly so, in small pools with very, very large banks and extremely wealthy individuals. So if you wanted to buy a Gulfstream 650 fully tricked out, a jet, or you wanted a very rare art, or you wanted a trophy apartment in one of the major metropolitan areas of the world, or you wanted, top quality large gemstones, you will have discovered that inflation has been rip-roaring like crazy, because those are the things that the people who have access to all that fresh money have been spending it on so far. So, yes, that money, you're right, it's been pushed into the economy, quote-unquote, but it's really been pushed into some very few, very large bank accounts, which makes when Janet Yellen comes out and defends the fact that the Fed has not created a wealth gap and that Bernanke says that was a trend that was in play a long time ago and the Fed's hands are clean, they're absolutely lying when they say that.
I'd like you to elaborate on that if you would, Chris.
In 2008, I created this online video thing called The Crash Course, and I predicted clearly in one of the chapters that money printing was going to be the route we were going to go down. And I then said that what we know about money printing is that it has an effect called seigniorage, when they first described it in France in the 1700s, where those who are closest to the money printer get most of the benefit from that. I said that what we were going to have after the Fed started printing money, this was well before the Fed started the QE programs, I said we were going to get this huge gap between the rich and the poor. And it was Plutarch, the Greek elder, who said that an imbalance between the rich and the poor is the oldest and most fatal ailment of republics. So we know that having a growing wealth gap is not a healthy thing. We knew that money printing was going to create that wealth gap. So for the Fed to stand before us here in 2016, 17, 18, probably later in all the out years, and say that they had nothing to do with the wealth gap, it is like a doctor who cuts into you saying he had nothing to do with the stitches that ended up in your arm. It boggles the mind.
Do you not think that the Fed is aware of this and maybe could or figure out some way to narrow this wealth gap, which, you're right, has been growing quite significantly over the last couple of years?
The Fed is really powerless. All they can do is either foster the conditions that will create more wealth and push that gap wider or not. But they don't have any control over the fiscal or the tax policies that would be sort of the redistributive arm of that. What the Fed could have done was not to have created the conditions that would have made this huge wealth gap. They could have decided not to bail out the giant banks. They could have decided not to create inflation in financial assets. They could have decided not to do all of those things, but they chose to do those things, knowing full well that a wealth gap would be part of that. What they were hoping, I think, was that we would also get this robust economic growth that so far has not materialized and really looks like it's never going to materialize before the next barn burner of a global recession hits.
Well, I have to tell you, that bodes very, very poorly, and that's almost an understatement for 2016. So you don't see a way out of it's worse than a malaise. You don't see a way out of the very negative conditions that we have in our country right now or that the world is facing right now, do you?
Well, I don't on a number of dimensions, but just to stick to the monetary dimension, monetary printing has never resulted in lasting prosperity any time it's ever been tried in history. So this time, a lot of people have put a lot of faith that the Federal Reserve and their other central banks have got it right this time. But I really believe that before anybody does that act of faith, performs that act of faith, they really ought to ask a hard question, which is why? Why will it do something this time that has never happened before in all of history? I think it's a leap of faith that's still timed and ill-advised.
And I think that is the key comment there, is that why would they change course when they've shown no interest on changing course? Chris, we've talked a lot about the Fed and what's going on in the U.S. How do you feel that the central banks around the world, such as the ECB, even the People's Bank of China, will play into this? Will they just keep on essentially reading from the same playbook?
They're all going to keep doing exactly what they do, which is continue to foster a system of growth and maintaining a status quo. It's what they do. We shouldn't expect them to do anything different. But the reason that Adam and I wrote the book Prosper, the reason we even have our entire website, Peak Prosperity, up and running, is because we believe that those efforts are doomed to failure at some level, and the extent to which individuals are fully tied into and committed to having the monetary system behave as it always has behaved, we think they're at risk, and we think that prosperity it's time to broaden our definition of prosperity, and it's time to wander away from this cultish idea that the Fed can print our prosperity and make our lives better. It's time to get our own personal responsibility for our outcomes, our personal lives, our futures. Take that back and start using that in our own lives.
And therein lies probably the main reason that people ought to read this book. You've got some very, very good ideas in it, I have to say. We want to get you back in the next segment because we want to talk about solutions. We don't want to just talk about gloom and doom. I have a tendency to agree with you as to what the future really holds. But let's talk about what we as individuals can do to solidify our positions, assuming we want to solidify our positions. Right after the short commercial break, folks, we're going to be right back with Chris Martinson.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presents inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor. Proven to withstand the force of a battering ram, Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to invasionstopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to invasionstopper.com now. That's invasionstopper.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition and continuing to listen to Chris Martinson chat with Al and I. Chris, we chatted last segment about your book, Prosper. This segment, I want to cover your outlook for 2016, as we have just turned the corner into the new year. 2015 was definitely an interesting year for, I would say, the stock market, but especially the commodities. And I want to start with the commodities and with oil. I know that you follow the energy markets very closely. We saw oil drop pretty much throughout the year and solidify, close the year right in the about mid-$30 a barrel range for crude. What is your outlook for oil and the general energy sector in 2016?
Well, for 2016, Corey, I'm expecting more weakness in the oil price going forward. The reason for that is that this is a producer slugfest. Russia's producing as flat out as much as they possibly can. I think all of OPEC is as well. Of course, the shale producers are producing everything they can to just to stay alive. So what we're going to see is we're going to see the high-cost producers get killed. We're going to see a lot of increasing numbers of shale bankruptcy in those company sector. We're going to see a lot of the deep water companies and the service companies associated with that get hammered further. So this is going to be a big period of retrenchment. But, you know, oil is just one missile away from doubling and then tripling in price from here in the Middle East, I mean. And we know that in a few years there's going to be a supply shortfall. So oil's low price is kind of a temporary thing, but for now it's creating a lot of economic pain and also social and political unrest in a variety of countries, Venezuela, Mexico increasingly. We're going to see this in Saudi Arabia, et cetera. So I'm looking for more weakness just from supply and demand fundamentals at this point, plus the fact that all the data I'm tracking for China says that that powerhouse engine of consumptive growth is stalling, if not already in recession. So I'm not looking for China to pick up the demand slack. So more weakness in oil with some pain.
I happen to agree that you're probably right in your views on that. My personal opinion about the energy sector right now, Chris, is that I think assuming that your timeline isn't tomorrow or the next day or 2 months from now, I think the energy sector is a very good place right now to get positioned for the long term, don't you?
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
This would not be a time I would say go all in, but if you're going to start repositioning and nibbling, this would be a great time to start adding in, I think.
What countries would you focus on energy play-wise or stock-wise for these investments?
I'm really going to be looking for company-specific data. I'm looking for companies with the best, lowest-cost structure, those that are swinging for the fences that really have a very, very high-cost structure. I'm steering clear of at this point. You know, tar sands is a very high cost sort of an oil. The shale producers are very high cost. That's not where I'd start. I think that you're going to want to wait for more rubble and dust to settle before you start picking through those sectors and taking a look. So this is probably a time to be looking at the oil majors, those with the lowest amounts of debt on the books and the best position holdings and things like that. So very fundamental analysis would be required.
Chris, you already talked about the possibility of a bomb going off and oil doubling or tripling in price due to maybe a lot of supply coming off the market. But right now we are seeing way too much supply, excess supply dominating the headlines in the market. Do you think there's the potential of a country or a number of countries out there, even possibly OPEC coming out and in one day saying that they are going to cut production so drastically that this could also turn the market?
All it would take, Corey, is just one country. Could be Russia, could be Saudi Arabia, who has the swing producer ability. Those are the number one and two exporters right now. To come out and say we're taking 2 million barrels a day off the market and that supply all of a sudden disappears, that supply overage. So any one country could do this, but as I said, this is a producer slugfest. Everybody's producing flat out. There's this is not just about economics. This isn't about petroleum alone. This has got some geopolitics wrapped in. There are a lot of very, very big pieces moving in the energy sphere, particularly around the Middle East and vis-a-vis Russia. There's a lot of things at play right now. It has nothing to do with whether or not the United States thinks the people of Syria deserve a different president with a different name than Assad. Everything to do with money, power, and energy.
What should people be doing right now to protect themselves?
We've got fantastic living standards right now compared to almost all periods of history. Mm-hmm. So look, whether somebody fully agrees with me that there's definitely some disruptions coming in the future, they should at least hold open the idea that there's a chance, a very good chance that there are disruptions coming. And so what we do is we start our book with Prosper with the idea of, look, each of us can become more resilient in our own lives. So a lot of people think when they first hear about how the world might really get into this period of disruption, they start with, oh, my gosh, I want to protect my finances. I want to protect my wealth. You know, we're scarred. We're battle wounded. We don't want to lose our wealth again. You know, so that's a natural place to start. So it's one of the earliest chapters. We talk about financial capital, how to manage that, you know, how you can really be diversified. But we ask people to take their financial capital and take a portion of it and dedicate it to growing other forms of capital. So financial capital is just one form. Another form that we ask people to dedicate some money to would be living capital. And this is living capital is anything that supports you in your life. So for me, I can look out my window and I see my living capital, which is this garden I've been growing and my orchard. I've got chickens. I'm increasing the depth and quality of the soil every year by taking money and buying compost. But it's also my body, my health. If you don't have your health, you have nothing. So it doesn't matter what happens in the future. If you're not healthy, you're not going to live well in that future. But more importantly, if you're healthy today, you'll enjoy today better. So we spend a lot of time talking about living capital. As well, we talk about material capital. Take some money, put it into insulating your house, putting some solar, thermal, or photovoltaic panels up, or buying a wood stove, or putting more energy-efficient investments in and around your house. If you do that, double, even triple-digit returns on those investments. So we're redefining in material capital this idea of, what's an investment? It's not sending money to Wall Street and hoping for the best that somebody's going to pay me more for some product that Wall Street sold me. It's investing like you're a business in your own homestead. So we talk through those sorts of investments that people can make. And we also have knowledge capital as a form of capital that people should invest in. Emotional capital, get back to that one in a second. Social capital, really important. Your cultural capital. And then finally, time capital. So those are the eight areas we look at. And if I could just touch back on emotional capital, this is the one that I think is probably the most important. It's one that gets really short shrift in a lot of discussions out there, but it works like this. The next big economic downturn isn't going to hurt people as badly as their reaction to it. We see this time and time again. You probably just saw the statistics that white people are now dying at a higher rate than they did before. Why? You peel back the covers, they're drinking more heavily. Why are they doing that? Because the economy is not as good as advertised. So look, Alan Corey, with just a little tiny bit of you know, the economy's not working quite right, and already people are drinking themselves to death. And why is that? It's because they don't have the emotional capital to deal with the changes that have come. You will discover that this next period of disruption is going to be as damaging as it is exciting and full of opportunities.
It's all about attitude. Chris, always a pleasure talking to you. Thanks, man.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hi there, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and we're looking in this time of terrible financial crash, terrible meltdown of the medical system, we're looking to pay people obscene amounts of money if you become a student of our business at Youngevity. We will help you actually take care of people better than the medical system has. Think about it. We spend more money in America for healthcare than all the other 218 nations the world put together, and they can't even solve weight loss problems. I mean, the medical system have a total mental brain fart, and if you do this, you will be able to save an enormous amount of people from being overweight, being obese. They don't even know what causes obesity. Believe me, we know what causes obesity. In the medical system, they think it's from eating too much. It's not from eating too much. It's actually a mineral deficiency. Do you solve a iron deficiency anemia with a bone marrow transplant? That's what they think. Do you solve a mineral deficiency that causes obesity with a gastric bypass? That's dumber than a stump. Contact us at GCNminerals.com. Learn how to lose weight, look good, and save yourselves a gob of money.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
If survivalist housing has been in your plans, get ready. We're bringing our Timberline Range Camps to you February 6th through 14th at the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Get an up-close look at some of our most popular Timberline models or visit survivalistcamps.com to pre-order a camp. We'll bring it to the show and save you the cost of shipping. It's the perfect time to get that camp you've wanted. Go to survivalistcamps.com, then plan on joining us at the Great American Outdoor Show in February in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 Pain Relief Hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, welcome back. You're continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Again, at the risk of being totally repetitive, which I guess I am sometimes, but I want to say I sincerely hope you all have a great 2016. We are chatting right now with Peter Buchvar. Peter is a managing director and chief market analyst at the Lindsay Group. He gave an interview this last week that was very, very well received, where he discussed the collateral damage that could be felt in Europe from policy divergence between the European Central Bank and the Fed. What do you have to say about that, Peter?
Well, Europe in particular, I think they're dealing with, well, a couple different issues. I think the first, I'll start with the positive, and that's the structural reform that's taking place in some of the countries there, particularly Spain, which now unfortunately is uncertain because of the election, but in Italy and Ireland, Portugal. But on the other hand, you have the European Central Bank that believes higher inflation is as quickly as possible is a very important goal of theirs. The problem is that with 40% of their sovereign bond markets having yields below zero, the last thing he should want is inflation as quickly as possible, because he's basically created a setup for a carnage in the European bond market if he's actually successful in driving higher inflation. So instead of being content with low inflation and low interest rates, he seems to want to upset and reverse everything he's trying to do. So to me, Europe, if without the ECB, would be, you know, a somewhat interesting but boring story. But Mario Draghi has created major tinder for an eventual problem in the next couple of years. Again, all in his desire for higher inflation, which is obviously the, you know, the hypocritical nature of all these central banks, is they love low interest rates, but then want higher in, but then want higher inflation, and it's not really a natural mix.
Peter, you hit the nail on the head there by saying that all these central banks want higher inflation. They're just not getting it, and they've been taking the same type of monetary policies for the last, well, number of years now, led by Japan and then followed by the Fed, and then we've seen, well, a lot of the other central banks hop on board with the money printing, and now we're seeing the Fed take the opposite course and start to raise interest rates. Whether they continue this process and do two interest rates in next year or four interest rates next year, only time will tell on that. But this divergence, do you think the ECB will be pulled by the Fed to embrace maybe a higher interest rate, even though they might not like to?
Well, I'm going to answer that question, but first say that with this whole inflation deflation argument, we've seen, we have to separate, it's not a black or white thing that's been going on. It's, we have deflation in commodities and many goods, but we have inflation in services. We have near 3% inflation, services inflation in the U.S. ex energy. We have about 2.5% services inflation in the U.K. We have 1.3% inflation in services in Europe. We have almost 1% inflation in Japan in services, ex food and energy. So it, there is a difference between goods and services, which I think is an important distinction, because at some point, commodity prices will stop going down. And all you need is commodity prices to stop going down, and you're going to see a reversal in the headline inflation numbers just through the math of rate of change. Second thing is with the ECB. Well, the ECB is also facing a problem. In addition to creating an awful backdrop for policy in the next couple of years with what they've done to the European bond market, they're also running into what seems to be constraints in the extent of their easing. We saw in their last ECB meeting where the market was supposedly disappointed that they didn't do even more. I think one of the reasons they didn't do even more is, number one, they've already done a lot. And number two, I think they're realizing the logistical limits of what they can do, both from an actual standpoint of what they can buy, but also a political limit to what they can do, because Germany is not just going to stand by and let Mario Draghi just do a scorched earth policy to get to 2% inflation. And I think we're also beginning to see the same thing in Japan going into 2016. Japan has had an easy ride the last 3 years with, okay, let's short yen, buy the Nikkei because the Japanese are printing a lot of money. But even the Japanese are acknowledging they are running into constraints in how much more QE they can do. Certainly by the end of 2016, they may be running out of bonds to buy. So bottom line is with central banks, and certainly Europe in particular, is they're running into walls, that this great party of money printing is now running into major constraints. Obviously, the Fed's reversed, but even if the Fed wanted to backtrack and do, let's just say, another round of QE, the political blowback will be extraordinary. And they won't have the same kind of license that they did in the previous rounds of QE. So the point of all is that central banks, we're seeing the end game, essentially, of the most extraordinary monetary experiment we've ever seen. And that's what people should start to be focused on, is the end game for the ability of central banks to not only do the money printing and the zero interest rates or the negative interest rates, but also the end game and its influence, its positive influence on markets.
Peter, I got a question for you. We're hearing an awful lot of pessimism when it comes to the end game, particularly pessimism regarding what's going to happen here in the current year, 2016. What are your thoughts about that? Are you equally pessimistic as to where this is all going to lead the world?
I am, for a very simple reason, is mm-hmm. that no lunch is free, and that you can't have this extraordinary expansion of central bank balance sheets, zero and negative interest rates, mm-hmm. and then somehow think that all will be well over a period of time. Now, initially, we can create the illusion that things are good because asset prices go up. But let's just pretend for a moment that these central bankers were corporate executives running different companies, and the Fed was one corporation, and the ECB was another corporation, the Bank of Japan was another corporation. If I was on the board of directors of these companies, and every quarterly meeting they would say to me, you know what, we've done this, it hasn't worked yet, but we're going to do even more. And then the next quarter they're going to say, they say to the board of directors, we've done even more, and that's still not working, but we're going to do even more. Well, these executives would all be fired.
Mm-hmm.
Because the board of directors says, you know what, if it's not working, we need to change strategy. But these central bankers have doubled, triple, quadrupled down, and the end result is an artificial short-term lift in asset prices, but there's always going to be a blowback because the hole that they've dug for themselves, they all have to get out eventually. I mean, getting back to Europe, for example, just imagine for a moment when Mario Draghi, and who knows when it will be, says to the world in a press conference that we may have to reverse our negative interest rate policy. Imagine what's going to happen to the European bond market when he needs to extract himself from this policy. I mean, it's going to be a total mess. So all for his desire for 2% inflation. So there's always going to be a reversal of extraordinary policy. And to think that it's going to be smooth, I think, is believing in la-la land. Because, again, no lunch is free. And the more extreme you get on one side, unfortunately, the pendulum's going to swing the other way.
I think that's a great point to end it on here, Peter. And hopefully, as we look into 2016, I'm not hoping for any sort of a major collapse, but there is going to need to be some sort of a, well, I guess, correction or some sort of, yeah, some issue coming from all this money printing that having the same impact.
Yeah, we've seen in the U.S. this year, we saw a major correction in high yield. We saw a major correction in a majority of stocks. I mean, half of the stocks out there are down 20% plus. There is a stealth bear market going on underneath the surface. Anybody looking at the S&P 500 or the NASDAQ for their market gauge is not getting the complete picture.
Very true. You need to dig down deeper, and it's something that we touched on, I believe, in the first segment of the show, saying that majority of the stocks are down. It's these high-flying FANG stocks that are keeping these markets afloat. Peter, always great chatting with you. Peter Buchvar, managing partner over at the Lindsay Group.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At ContractorExam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, ContractorExam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.ContractorExam.com today.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
911, what is your emergency?
There's somebody in my house. Hurry, please.
A home break-in happens every 22 seconds. Homes without a security system are up to 3 times more vulnerable to a burglary. That's why they're SimpliSafe. In an emergency, our advanced wireless technology alerts police up to 10 times faster, and your connection to emergency services can't be cut because SimpliSafe doesn't rely on landlines. SimpliSafe costs less than half what traditional companies charge, just $14.99 a month, and there's no commitment to an annual contract. Protect your family with the highest caliber security. Go now to SimpliSafeDefense.com and get 10% off with free shipping and a 3-year warranty. Hurry, and you'll also receive a keychain remote worth $25. Try SimpliSafe for a full 60 days. You'll feel confident that your family is safe or your money back. Go to SimpliSafeDefense.com right now. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Welcome back here to wrap up the weekend edition. I'm saying this ad nauseum, but one last time, you folks out there have a great 2016. Okay, having said that, we are chatting with John Rubino right now. John is the co-author of a book entitled The Collapse of the Dollar and a more recent book, John, that just came out, The Money Bubble, along with James Turk, one of my favorite people in our particular industry. We're going to talk a little bit right now about what happened in the resource sector, specifically the precious metal sector this past year, and what John thinks may or may not happen here in 2016. Let's start with the past year, John. How about a recap?
Yeah. Good to talk to you again, Al. 2015 was, you could call it the year when nothing really worked. Stocks were down slightly, with the average stock down quite a bit. Bonds went down, and you know the total return on U.S. Treasuries was pretty much zero. Junk bonds crashed late in the year. Cash earned nothing, and precious metals, as you mentioned, were horrendous losers this year. You know, it was a really brutal time to be a gold bug. So I think you could make the case going forward that, you know, the system as it's been configured over the past few years is starting to roll over. You know, the government has been pumping huge amounts of money into the financial system and is now starting to pull back a little bit. So you're seeing a lot of the big trends that were in place over the last few years start to flatline. And so that presents us with a really interesting scenario for 2016, because frequently when big trends are kind of running out of steam, they don't just crash. They slow down for a while, and you know there's a little bit of give and take, and then greater volatility, and then it falls off the table. And so I think 2016 very possibly could be a time of extreme volatility, as a lot of these big trends don't just slow down, but actually start to reverse in a big way.
John, it's completely understandable for investors to be a bit worried moving into 2016 because of this topping process that you mentioned. Because if we look at the conventional markets, majority of the stocks were down, except for some of the high-flying ones. All the commodities got hit pretty much across the board. The only standout was the U.S. dollar, and I don't think there are too many investors out there that have their whole portfolio in the U.S. dollar. One aspect that I think moving forward for 2016 that will be important to watch again is the U.S. dollar. If the Fed is serious about continuing on with rate hikes, and if we don't see a change in Europe or China it's hard to imagine the dollar pulling back significantly, which would actually help a lot of other countries, especially the emerging markets. What do you think is going to happen with the dollar?
Yeah, this is a really interesting situation because we have the strongest currency in the world that's already causing us some trouble, but we are the only country in the world that is tightening monetary policy right now. And normally that gives you a stronger currency because it decreases the supply of currency that's coming onto the market. So if the dollar gets stronger from here, which Economics 101 says it should, then we've got some serious problems here in the U.S. because already U.S. manufacturing is rolling over. You know, our big multinationals can't sell as easily to the rest of the world because the price of what they're trying to sell is going up because they have to price it in dollars. And so we're seeing corporate earnings and sales start to roll over and turn negative. They're both down year over year. And there's no reason for that to reverse if the dollar gets even stronger. So we've got stocks priced for perfection and corporate earnings going down because of the strong dollar. So that creates some real tension here. And, you know, the recent numbers in the U.S. Are really bearing out a dramatic slowdown, largely because we have too strong currency. For instance, just this morning, the Chicago Purchasing Managers Index, which is a measure of the manufacturing activity in the Chicago area, was supposed to be, according to economists trying to predict it, was supposed to be kind of neutral. Like 50 is a reading of not expanding and not contracting. It actually came in at 42.9, which is the lowest since 2009. So in that region, you can make the case that we're already in recession. And a lot of the other purchasing manager indexes out there that have been coming out lately have been just as weak. So it looks like in a lot of ways the U.S. economy is already rolling over. And so if we continue to tighten and try to raise the value of the dollar, because that's basically the result of tightening usually, then we're going to hit a wall in 2016. And, you know, it's not clear how we get out of it in the short run, because it takes a really long time to switch gears in monetary policy.
Boy, John, I got to tell you, if in fact your comment about the recession is true, you know, and I personally kind of think maybe not in the technical sense right now, but I would have to say that in more of a practical sense, we probably almost are in a recession right now. But if that becomes the official mantra in early 2016, I think the Democrats can basically, who I think are in a very strong position right now, but I think they can kiss the presidential election goodbye if in fact that happens. You got any comments on that?
Well, yeah, the party in power gets mm-hmm. the credit and the blame for whatever's going on, even though very seldom or is it their fault or you know their you know that they caused whatever happened, but. Yeah, if we drop into a recession just in time for a presidential election, then the party in power is probably going to suffer historically, which would mean that they're paying close attention to this, and there's going to be huge pressure on the Fed if the first quarter in the U.S. is weak to shift gears, reverse course, and take back this whole rate increase thing and basically join the currency war. You know, and I think that's going to happen sometime in 2016. We're going to have a crisis of some sort, whether it's a slowing economy leading to a plunge in asset prices, leading to an even slower economy that they feel like they have to short circuit, or something else. There's five or six big things out there that could all cause that kind of a crisis. We'll see the Fed shift gears and join with the European Central Bank and the People's Bank of China and the Bank of Japan in all easing. You know, everybody in the world is going to be cutting interest rates again, probably into negative territory, pumping out huge amounts of currency, and generally trying to rev up inflation. And so I think that'll be the dominant theme of global economic policy by the end of 2016. And it's just a question of how soon we get there. Does it happen right away because they're not willing to take a chance on it in an election year? Or does it grind on for a while with more bad numbers leading to bad performance in the financial markets, leading to other bad numbers until they finally panic right at the end? You know, it could go either way, but I think one way or another – This idea that that we're in good enough shape to be able to tighten monetary policy is going to be discredited in a big way in 2016.
Now, John, we can talk about how weak the U.S. economy is and how the Fed has backed itself into a corner. But when you look globally, you're seeing Europe, China, the emerging markets, they all seem to be in even worse shape. Some people could argue that, but in my eyes, they look even worse off than the U.S. So how crucial and how closely are you watching these other economies around the world to see what happens with them in 2016?
Well, yeah, it's a global economy, Corey, and that's a big part of the reason the dollar is so strong right now is that the rest of the world is even in worse shape. You know, you can go through Europe and Japan and China and spend 15 or 20 minutes just discussing the mess that they've made of their systems. And, of course, the Middle East is just on fire right now. You know, we've got a pan-Islamic war going on where even the big powers that are involved in it have no idea what they're doing, you know. And so the world is really chaotic outside of the U.S. And so if you're a Brazilian businessman with a lot of capital or a Chinese millionaire, you know, do you want to leave your money at home and hope that things don't spin out of control? Or do you want to buy a Miami condo or a an office building in San Francisco or something like that and just hide out for a while? Well, a lot of those guys are choosing the latter. And so there's lots of capital flowing into the U.S. that isn't really interested in a return on capital. They're interested in the return of capital. They just want to make sure they get the money back someday. And so they're willing to pay pretty much whatever it takes. And so that bids up our asset prices and makes the dollar stronger. And that could go on for a while because the rest of the world isn't done with their crises. You know, they're just at the beginning of a long, long period of bad stuff happening. And so this could go on.
John, I got to tell you, I think you made a very, very valid point there. You know, it's the amount of Asian folks' immigration into Vancouver, wealthy Asians that have come into Vancouver, is absolutely mind-boggling, and it has had a huge impact on the economy up there. Ladies and gentlemen, one last time, old people are given the privilege of repeating themselves. Have a great 2016.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.